Hi everyone, it's lovely to see you. Isn't it good to come before God and give him our worship and our honour and just pour out praises to him? It's just such a privilege, isn't it, to be able to have confidently come into the presence of God today. You can see our lovely Christmas tree. I love Christmas, I always have. I love everything, the tree, the presents, the carols, the family, the nativities, the Christmas story, Christmas at school. I love it all, but Christmas has got progressively busier over the years for me. I usually do plays at school, a big family Christmas at our house, presents, everything. But I've always tried to make time to read the Christmas story in the run-up to Christmas and ask God to reveal something new or something that I've forgotten that I've put down and I need to pick up again. So it was a real pleasure for me just to have time to mull over this prophecy about the Christmas story and the coming of Jesus as a baby and as our saviour. So it's just amazing, isn't it, that so many years before that his birth was predicted. We said before about the significance of names in the Old Testament, and this spoke of the very essence and character of the person who was called by that name. And it wasn't just something, a name wasn't just something to grab someone's attention, it was who they were. And this prophecy was saying who the child that was going to be born was going to be. For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. And again, this prophecy speaks of four names that the son, the child, will bear. And we've already looked at the first three, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And now we come to the Prince of Peace. And we've got the privilege this morning to remind ourselves afresh of the truth of God's amazing plan of restoration. To consider again the amazing truth that Jesus came to earth. Put aside everything because he thought so much of you. He thought so much of me. Because he loves us so much that he was desperate for this pathway of peace to be made. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And Colossians 1:19-20 says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And reconciliation is the end of estrangement and the restoration of harmony. That the estrangement was ended and now harmony with God was restored. It's incredible, isn't it, that hundreds of years ago that Isaiah spoke of the character of God that the world would need then and the world would need now. And all the time in between, that the broken, lost humanity would need those characteristics of God over and over and over again. That went beyond being acceptable before him into provision, Wonderful Counselor, and relationship, Everlasting Father, and blessing and grace, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. When I was thinking about this, my first thought was, well, why does it not say King of Peace? Why does it say Prince of Peace? And as I looked into it, way before Prince meant someone who wasn't yet a king, it spoke of someone of the highest rank. A Chief of Peace would also be good. It spoke of royalty and authority. In the Roman Empire, the emperor was also called the Princeps, I think it is. So being the Prince of Peace didn't diminish what was coming. It highlighted the sovereignty of what was to come. It highlighted the authority of what was to come. It qualified him, that baby, to be the perfect sacrifice. So Jesus was coming as the guardian, the keeper of peace, the one who had sovereignty and authority, the ultimate chief over peace. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Jesus would be the source of peace. In him we have peace. But what does peace mean? I think, as with many words we use that in society today and in our world today, it's the full extent of peace when we say it has been nullified slightly, and it can just mean something that isn't there, the absence of war, the absence of noise, the cessation of hostility and disturbances. But I think in this context it's so much more. The Hebrew word for peace is probably one of the most famous Hebrew words that lots of people had heard of, shalom. And when you look at it, shalom is so much bigger than the ending of enmity and disturbance. Way, way bigger. God's like that, isn't he? Always more than we expect or deserve. Shalom is wholeness. And in English, a whole host of words, we need a whole host of words to begin to explain the full extent of that shalom peace that Jesus is bringing to us. Peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, tranquility, full salvation, well-being, rest, in a position to flourish. So Isaiah is prophesying that Jesus will be the bringer and sovereign over peace. He'll be the bringer and sovereign over harmony and wholeness. He'll be the bringer of completeness. He'll be the bringer of prosperity and tranquility. He'll be the bringer of salvation and well-being. He'll be the chief of wholeness and completeness and well-being. He'll be the guardian of our wholeness and our well-being and our salvation. So God, in his graciousness and amazingness, goes beyond making a path for eternity. Incredible and amazing as that is, and that declares that Jesus will bring peace, Jesus will bring wholeness, Jesus will bring completeness, Jesus will bring prosperity, Jesus will bring tranquility, Jesus will bring salvation, Jesus will bring well-being, Jesus will bring us to a place where we can flourish. Prince of Peace is huge. It's huge. Ephesians 2:17 says, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who are near. Shalom peace. He came to preach wholeness to you who are far away and you who are near. He came to preach well-being to those who are near and to those who are far away. This morning, wherever you are, that Prince of Peace is sufficient. He came to bring wholeness, completeness, peace to us when we are far away or when we're near. He came to bring that fullness of life. He came to bring life in abundance. And when you consider the extent of shalom peace, if you can grasp that and you can grasp the extent of this prophecy, what an abundant life, what a full life we will lean into. If I go back to Romans 5:1 just for a couple of minutes, therefore, and it's from the Amplified this time, therefore, since we have justified, that is, been justified, that is, acquitted of sin, declared blameless before God by faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God and the joy of reconciliation with him through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. Through him we also have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. Let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of our great God, the manifestation of his excellence and power. That verse from Romans talks, doesn't already, as we've mentioned, about being justified and reconciled to God, about the end of hostility and the beginning of harmony. And we can't consider Jesus as the chief of peace without thinking just thinking of what it costs to bring us that ultimate, incredible shalom peace with God. That he came as a baby, that he came as a human and lived a perfect life on earth so that he could be our faultless sacrifice for us, making peace with God, standing in our place, taking our sin upon him, declaring us blameless. That is how much God wanted that completeness, that wholeness of relationship with you and with me. That's how much he wanted us to have well-being and peace and tranquility. God, we're just in awe of you. We're just so grateful, Jesus, that that's how much we mean to you, that you sent your son so that we could be in relationship with you, but we could be complete and whole and tranquil and resting and in a place to flourish. Amen. How then do we get to that place? You know, Jesus came, that's done. The prophecy has been fulfilled. But we don't always live in a state of that shalom peace, or I certainly don't, and I don't think everyone else does. And so what can we do? There's lots of things we shouldn't be doing. You know, I can't sleep very well if I watch scary films, so I don't watch them. So there's things I shouldn't be doing, but there's more that I should be doing. And one of the things that came to me was that we need to nurture peace. You know, God is amazing. He's incredible, isn't he? And sometimes when we're in some situation, peace just overflows and just blesses, and God just gives us peace. But we have a responsibility to nurture that peace as well. You know, and you can sometimes think you're okay, you're at peace, and actually something comes out of the blue, doesn't it? And just, you're not at peace. So it's really important that we nurture peace all the time so that we're at peace when things are thrown at us. It was funny that in the lead up to this, getting this ready, work became extra busy. And I had children off isolating, and so I had to do extra work and mark extra work and prepare different work, and it was busy, busy, busy. And then I was going to get ready last weekend, and on Friday my car went wrong, and that was more busy, 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 and something that just I wasn't expecting. And I've had to really nurture peace in my life and learn to do that and put things down and pick things up. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Then the God of shalom peace will be with you. Let's be, you know, we need to make an effort and a decision and a choice to think on the things that are lovely, to think on the truth, to think on the things that are pure. Another thing that I've just had to really take hold of in the last couple of weeks is that I need to wait on God. If you need peace, then my experience is that going before God and telling him all that's wrong and then rushing straight back out is not the solution. If you go and tell God, I'm worried, you know, I'm thinking about this, but then you make plans for how it's going to be solved, or you're thinking, that isn't really waiting on him. Lamentations 3:26 says, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of God. You know, we just need to just breathe on him and just lean on him and just dwell on him. Wait on God. Just You know, we fret, we make plans, we take matters into our own hands, we feel the weight of anxiety, but God is at work. It might be unseen or not in my time scale, but he is moving things in heaven and on earth on your behalf. And so fretting and making plans to solve things isn't always the way, because God is at work. Let's just wait on him and learn to trust him. And the last thing that really came to me about getting peace and that shalom peace, the fullness of peace that God wants for us, is that actually I've got to seek after it and search after it. We went on a conference last year, and a story that keeps coming back to me is one that he told of an Easter hen, or an illustration of an Easter egg hunt, and how when your children are little, you hide the Easter eggs right in front of them, so they can't fail to see them, that it's there. As they get a little bit older, you might put it a little bit higher or a little bit lower, but really it's still there so they can see it. And as they get older still, you might hide it under things, or you might hide it in things. And as they get older still, you might hide cryptic clues all around the house that they have to find out. And actually, I think God is saying to us, you know, I want you to search it out. Yes, I will bless you. Yes, I will pour my grace upon you. Yes, I will give you peace. But actually, I want to challenge you to search after it and to seek after it. Proverbs 25:2 in the Passion Translation says, God conceals the revelation of his word in the hiding place of his glory, but the honour of kings is revealed by how they thoroughly search out the deeper meaning of all that God says. God is amazing, isn't he? He is so gracious. He is so gracious to us. He gives us so much. But he has opened a way through Jesus being the Prince of Peace for more than just ability to come into his presence. What he wants to give us is so much bigger and greater than that. And he's just saying to us, come on, come on, it's good. He is asking us to pursue more. And as we've looked at an incredibly familiar verse of Christmas time, God is asking us to move beyond the familiar of our life and to realize with greater understanding and revelation of who he is and what he has made available to us. You know, I was thinking about Christmas and how we made a policy never ever to tell our children that they wouldn't get presents if they were naughty, or they wouldn't get that if they were naughty, because we were always going to give them presents. Their receiving of presents was never dependent on how they behaved. It was always about our love for them. And Jesus is saying, this Christmas, I've got so much I want to give you. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you are, what your past is. Jesus has made a way. The Prince of Peace has come. He's restored relationship with God. And he wants us to push in and press in to these gifts that he's given of wholeness and completeness and life in abundance and tranquility and well-being, and saying to us, you are in a place to flourish. That's what I've given to you. That's what Jesus has done through his death. And he's just saying, I'm giving it to you. This Christmas, I'm giving it to you. So this Christmas might be a really different Christmas. But the words we keep hearing in the media, that it's an awful Christmas or it's somehow ruined, are not true. This Christmas has the potential to be the best you've ever had, that I've ever had. I've got the privilege of being asked to press into Almighty God and what he's made available for us. That's what he wants for us. that's what he wants us to press into. More of his wisdom and counsel. More of his mighty power at work within us. More of the relationship with Father. More of that shalom peace that Jesus has made a way for us to have. Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. That prophecy has come to pass. What was prophesied is available and there for us to take hold of. Jesus, we are just in awe of you. We are amazed by you. We are so grateful that you look at us and you look with such love that you had to make a way for our reconciliation, but that you did so much more. And Father, we just want to press in and to search out and to seek after all that you've got for us this Christmas and forever. Lord, we just want to thank you. Amen.